Good morning and welcome to Old Lion, Young Lion. I'm excited to have you here. And my name is Anthony Stafford, and I'm here with my co-host, Sam Hazelton, and we are Old Lion, Young Lion. Our show exists to dig deep into the scriptures and then proclaim it boldly. The Bible teaches clearly that the righteous are bold as lions, and we intend to be bold on this show. Why, do you ask? Because we work for the greatest lion of all time, the Lion of the Tribe of Judah. And you know what? We want you to be employed by that same lion. Have you considered joining up the Lion's Den? Come be a part of the Lion's Den with Old Lion, Young Lion. Now, Sam and I are both part of the pastoral team of Electric City Baptist Church, and we meet every Sunday at 10:30 a.m. And now we are also part of the team leading Refuge City Bible Church that meets every Sunday at 6 p.m. And so if you want to be a part of Electric City or Refuge City, come and reach out to us, oldlionyounglion@gmail.com, and we will get you that info. We love bringing people to church, worshiping the Lord in song, and opening up the Word of God and preaching His Word. Now, before we get into today's show, before we start talking about what's going on today, I need to tell you about our sponsor. You need to hear about this new institute that's coming to the Albany area, Timothy and Titus Bible Institute, launching in January 2026. You can find their details online. Please look up TTBI. If you're looking for a place where you can learn about the Bible and develop your gospel calling that God needs you to join up and start helping plant churches and lead churches in the Northeast, TTBI is for you. We thank TTBI for sponsoring today's show with a large cash investment. Thank you, TTBI. So, Old Lion, Sam Hazelton, before we start the show, in like manner, as we always do, by good tradition, would you kick our show off with a word of prayer?
Father, in the name of Jesus, please be with us today as we open up the Word of God. Lord, we thank you for the opportunity to be on the radio. Thank you for all the lives that we're able to touch through this program. Father, we ask that you'd open the hearts of those in earshot of our message today, that they would be blessed, that they would be encouraged, and they would be led closer to you. In Jesus' name.
Amen. And I pray a blessing over all those that are listening as we get into what's known as the holiday season and the winter season. Lord, we know there can be kind of a trial and triumph during this season. If you're out there and you're struggling or you're hurting, we want to make sure that not only is this show a blessing to you, but that it leads you a little bit closer to your Creator, who's given you a purpose, who's given you mission, and you need to find out what He has for you. Turn your back on some of these things in the world that are empty and vain and come find real meaning in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, Sam, Old Lion here. If you could, why don't you give us a little review of what we've been going over the last 3 or 4 weeks and a little bit touch a little bit on what we're going to talk about today. I know this is a subject that's near and dear to my heart, so I'll be kind of guiding us through today's episode, but tell us a little bit of recap and where we're going.
So we finished the book of Job last week. We saw how Job was the object of God's and Satan's plan, and God had a plan for Job, and Satan was trying to destroy that plan. And here Job was caught in the middle, this pawn in this clash of titans. And we found that Job, who never really got the clue about what was happening behind the scenes in heaven, he didn't know about the argument between God and Satan. Even still, he kept his faith, he stayed persistent, he stayed patient, and in the end, his faith was rewarded. This week, we're going to tackle a completely new topic. We're going to look at 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 2, which talks about these things that you have heard and seen in me, and trust these things to faithful men who can teach others also. We're going to talk about generational wisdom being passed along. And this is a topic very appropriate for our sponsor this week, TTBI, which is in place to do just that, to pass along wisdom and gospel ministry from one generation to the next, so that we can get about finishing this unfinished business.
Well, this is an important subject, and today's episode is going to be a little bit more of a talk than explicit Bible teaching, although all of our speech should be as if we're speaking the oracles of God. So the Word of God will infiltrate our conversation throughout this entire conversation today, but we need to pay attention to the words that Old Lion just said, unfinished business. And there is a responsibility from one generation to the next to not only pass down gospel truth, but to hand them truth in general. And maybe some of you out there have had a phrase or an advice or wisdom that's been given to you by somebody in your life. So I want you to think about that time that that teacher or that uncle, that grandfather, that father, that mother, that gave you a piece of wisdom that stuck with you kind of throughout your entire life. And in a moment, Old Line, I want you to think about a time that someone gave you a piece of wisdom and it's kind of stuck with you your entire life, and maybe even give credit to whom credit is due. But in this world, there's phrases that have stuck and stayed through time because they attribute themselves to truth. They're good wisdom from an older generation to a younger generation, and you need to carry that wisdom on, not only from the older to the younger, but then you need to pass it on to someone else. So, Old Line, what's a piece of wisdom or a phrase that was given to you as a young man that has kind of stuck with you for your entire life?
Well, my dad gave me a lot of these sayings over the years, and one that I will always remember is my dad taught me that people do things for their reasons, not yours.
How does that apply? What kind of wisdom is carried in that phrase?
Well, we have to get inside the thoughts and the heads of those who we're trying to persuade, and we need to understand what makes them tick so that we can reach them the way they need to be reached rather than from our perspective.
Yeah, I appreciate that. And I think that having a father that kind of passes down some of that, I'm sure that's one of many. And when I was growing up, my dad, and I think it's already interesting that what we're talking about here is fathers giving information to sons. And so your dad gave you some wisdom. My dad had this phrase. It was not as phonetically correct as yours, but it still stuck with me. My dad, Mike Stafford, he said, "It can't not work." It was his main phrase. "It can't not work." And the idea behind that was, you don't give up because the first try. You don't give up because the second try didn't work. It can't not work. Your only option is success, victory, or learning. And so he's a mechanic by trade, and he taught me that it can't not work. And that stuck with me forever. And it's given me a viewpoint and a philosophy on life where I'm not beaten down and downtrodden all the time, cast down, but I'm not cast away. I have an opportunity to always use whatever cards that are dealt to me. I can use them to help win in a particular situation. So I shout out my dad. And maybe you didn't have someone to give you some wisdom, or maybe you didn't listen. Maybe it was that you weren't listening to someone that was giving you wisdom. And I want to bring this up. And we're going to get to 2 Timothy chapter 2, and I'm going to let Sam kind of expound on that a little bit. But in 2 Timothy chapter 3, Timothy prophetically gives us a view of what the end of the world is going to look like. And he starts describing what is, might I say, a perfect articulation of what our world looks like today. And he gives a list of what men are going to look like in the end times. And he starts mentioning that they're going to be lovers of their own selves. They're going to be unthankful. They're not going to be truth tellers, but they're going to be truth breakers. They're going to be despisers of those that are good. But then it uses this very unique phrase, and it says that they're going to have the form of godliness, but deny the power thereof. And it gives this kind of context for what the end of the world is going to look like. And one of the descriptors on the list is that they are disobedient to parents. And I get frustrated with young people who are complaining endlessly, it seems like, about how bad their life is, yet they rejected the wisdom that was handed down to them by a father figure, a coach, or someone that was in their life mentoring them. And so, Sam, when I look at 2 Timothy 3, and I see this prophetic articulation of what the world's going to look like, and one of the outcomes is people not listening to their parents, disobeying their parents. Are you seeing the same thing out in the world? Does there seem to be a natural dissension between a younger generation and older generation? Is this something that's always been about, or is this something that's come about in recent days? What do you see when you're looking out on a landscape as far as a younger generation disobeying or not listening, not respecting the older generation? What do you see?
Well, I see what's behind it, and it's a satanic plot.
Okay.
Satan knows that in order to destroy the future, if he can drive that wedge between one generation and another, he can literally cut off the fruitfulness and the productivity of the future generations. And so, for example, in our schools today, the public schools, we have a generation of teachers who are actively and kind of secretly trying to cause children to despise their parents and turning them away from traditional ways, turning them away from the things, the basic things that they've learned and understood from their parents, and trying to subvert that. We have a whole generation of people who the Bible talks about having teachers to their own liking, having itching ears. And so we've got a whole generation that has gravitated toward some famous influencers on YouTube rather than the parents and the godly teachers and the people in their lives that God has placed as their launching pad, so to speak.
No, that's a good word. And I think it's even perfectly appropriate for our show. It's Old Lion, Young Lion. This is incredibly important because every young lion needs an old lion and every old lion needs a young lion. This is so important to carrying on the business of not only teaching truth, but specifically teaching the gospel and teaching the word of God. The book of Proverbs, chapter number 4, and like I said, we're not going to be teaching through a bunch of books today. We're just going to be talking a lot about truth kind of scattered throughout scripture. Proverbs 4, chapter number 1 says, "Hear ye, children, the instruction of a father, and attend to no understanding." It's a direct claim for the safety and successfulness of your life is to find a father figure and attend unto his teaching. It goes on in verse 2, "I give you good teaching, forsake not the law of the father." He says in verse 3, "For I was my father's son, tender and only beloved in the sight of my mother, and my father taught me also and said unto me, let thine heart retain my words, keep my commandments and live." We already know this, that honor thy father and mother, obey your father and mother, and you shall live long on the earth, the Bible promises. But what we have now is a lost generation of young men acting like Peter Pan and the Lost Boys, never growing up, stuck in Neverland until they're 42 years old. They're a 38-year-old, 14-year-old, and they haven't retained the words of their father in their heart, and they aren't living. They're pretending to live. They're a shell of a human being because they haven't listened to the wisdom of their father. And so the Bible finishes out in Proverbs chapter 4, and I want to get your take, Old Lion, on maybe the responsibility of the older generation, where they're lacking. But if the young lion here could just speak to the other young lions out there, the Bible clearly teaches us in Proverbs 4 that wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, go and get wisdom. And it's found in listening to the instruction of a father. And so if you're out there lost and wanting to in frustration, blame an older generation for not helping you see the path, but you also reject the teaching that they're giving you, this onus, this responsibility lies on your shoulders to seek out this father figure and say, please help me. Now, this takes a little humility on our end. But Old Line, give us a perspective from the old guy. Speak to the old lines for a second. Why is it that there's some dissension? Is it just the spirit of rebellion in a young person, or is there an issue also lying at the feet of the old lions?
Well, I think there's responsibility on both sides for this. And okay, the older generation certainly needs to recognize that every generation has unfinished business.
Okay, yeah, speak to that a little bit.
So the Lord Jesus Christ said this, "I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it."
Right.
And so this is the mission of the church, is to be built, to be finished. He said, "This gospel of the kingdom shall be proclaimed in all nations, to all languages, to all tongues, and then the end shall come." We have a job to do. Psalm 110 says, "The Lord says to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies a footstool for your feet." And so we have a charge as the Church of Jesus Christ to go forth and put God's enemies under our feet to prepare the way for the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. There's unfinished business in every single generation, and this is a theme that we see not only in the New Testament, but also in the Old Testament with a lot of examples there.
Okay, so, and I want to get into some of these examples. I'm glad you brought that up because the Bible depicts this. You know, we get this regularly. You know that there's an old guy that has some wisdom that needs to share it with you, an older lady that's going to share some wisdom with the younger, and Paul even teaches this, the older shall instruct the younger. And we get this almost by natural law. They've experienced things, and they need to hand this experience down to you. But you mentioned that there's some examples in Scripture, and I want to get to those. I think it's important for us to see how Scripture lays this out. But let's talk just for a second about the mission. When you say there's unfinished business, that the Church of Jesus Christ needs to get this gospel out to all the nations, it sounds to me like what you're saying is that in order to accomplish this mission, this unfinished business of teaching truth to the world, it's a necessity that the older generation take on the responsibility of teaching the younger generation. So is that what you're saying, that the mission relies on the communication between the generations?
Absolutely, because every generation has been building upon this foundation that's been laid.
Okay.
And so recognizing that, hey, I'm coming to the end of my useful life here, and I better have sown into young men in the next generation to continue on this work.
Well, bring up the 2 Timothy verse and kind of break it down a little bit. I think exactly what you're expounding on with your own old line wisdom is just clearly written out in this 2 Timothy 2 verse. So build on the foundation of what you just said and clarify it with this passage, which is with the scripture in 2 Timothy.
This is Paul talking to Timothy. And what you have heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. This verse is a multi-generational verse.
Right.
It's Paul's generation, Timothy's generation, and Paul is speaking to Timothy about a generation yet to come. And the church is a multi-generational reality. It's interesting, Timothy himself, his dad, was a Gentile, was not a believer. And so when Timothy wasn't getting the godly wisdom, he wasn't getting that truth that's being passed to him from his natural father, but Paul became, the Bible says, his spiritual father in the Lord.
Right.
And so
Timothy, Paul, my own son in the faith. That's right.
So if you're out there as a young person and maybe you're looking and maybe your dad is not somebody who's involved in your life. Maybe your dad is somebody who's fallen victim to some of the temptations that the world has and hasn't really walked in his calling and walked in the purpose that God has given for him. And so you need to look elsewhere. Well, there are men that God will bring into your life. The Bible says that God puts the solitary in families. And so he will connect you with a spiritual father, maybe where your natural father failed in that. And so you need to be on the lookout for that and taking advantage of those situations and not thinking that you're alone as an orphan, because God will not leave you that way.
No, I appreciate that. And I see that the hierarchy of the mission of this unfinished business of teaching truth to the nations requires that there be generational communication. Satan has used some of his own power to kind of bring about some divisiveness between the fathers and the sons. And this needs to be a unity that the brethren in Christ need to dwell in unity rather than separation of my ideas are better or these old guys need to go or these young guys aren't respectful. These are just lies from Satan to separate the fathers and the sons or the mentors and the mentees from being able to carry out this unfinished business that needs to be completed. Now, we're going to look at some examples. I wanted to get to that part. Obviously, we know this is in John 5. We're not going to dig into this passage about Jesus, but the Bible says in John 5 that the Son can do nothing of himself but what he sees the Father do.
Wow.
So Jesus watches the will of the Father and then operates in that will, saying, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? So even Jesus, the greatest of us all, looks to his Father for guidance for how he ought to operate. But let's talk a little bit about some of these Old Testament examples. Well, let's jump from John. And I want tell us a little bit. We don't have a ton of time to hit all the stories. The Bible is filled with all of these, but I want you to start with, give us a little background and then tell us, Old Lion, tell us a little bit about Moses-Joshua relationship, what that looks like, and why was it a necessity for Moses to be able to communicate with Joshua?
So Moses came out of Egypt and there was this young man, Joshua, who kind of stuck with him. And Moses actually gave him a new name. And it's interesting. You see that a lot in the Bible where men who are called by God are given new names. And,
right.
And Joshua was given a new name. And so Moses, talk about unfinished business. Moses was called to take the children of Israel out of bondage, out of slavery in the land of Egypt, and to bring them into the promised land that God had set aside for them and promised to them forever. And Moses got them out, but they got stuck in the wilderness. And Moses, who represented the law of God, wasn't able to bring them into the promised land. However, Joshua, the next generation, he was called by God to bring them into this promised land. Moses had unfinished business. He came to the end of his life. God said, you're not the one that's going to do it, but Joshua is going to bring them in. That was true in the natural, but in a sort of spiritual, allegorical sense, the law will not get you into heaven, but Jesus will get you into heaven. And same thing, Moses representing the law couldn't get the people into the promised land, but Joshua, who has the same name as our Lord Jesus Christ, got the people of Israel into that promised land.
Well, can you imagine Moses saying like, no, I want to do it. This is my job. I'm not passing this on. I'm going to do it. He would just mess up the whole plan. If he did not pass this responsibility, and obviously what happens in the book of Deuteronomy, he re-preaches the word of God to Joshua. If he did not hand the responsibility and preach the wisdom to Joshua, God's entire plan, the business never gets finished.
Yeah.
The work doesn't move on.
Well, Moses at one point kept badgering God. He wanted to be the guy that brought them in. And,
right.
And God said, stop asking me about this.
So, Old Line, talk about this a little bit. There's got to be some respect that you put on Moses and some of this older generation for having kind of the guts to declare, I want to get the job done. But it's not in God's plan. So how do you wrestle with having the courage from Moses to say, no, I can do it, but God saying, you're going to give this to the next guy? Wrestle with that idea.
Well, it happens over and over again in Scripture. You see it with David and Solomon.
Okay, all right.
So David had on his heart, he had a desire to build a house for the name of the Lord his God.
Right.
Build this temple. And God said, you did well that it was in your heart.
It was a good idea.
It actually made God really happy.
Right.
That David wanted to build him a house. And yet he said, you're not the guy to do it. You've been a man of blood. You've been a man of war. Your son, Solomon, is going to be a man of peace. And he is the one that will build my house. It hurt David that he couldn't be the guy. But what does David do? He doesn't just get sore and take his ball and go home. He actually made preparations. He's the one that by revelation from God got the plans for the new temple that Solomon would build.
Right.
He laid up millions and millions of dollars of gold, silver, bronze, wood, everything to prepare, basically gave the plans and all the materials to his son Solomon to finish that job.
Well, this is, again, this is just example after example in the Scripture. So when we look at the first story of Moses and Joshua, imagine if Moses drug his feet and didn't want to pass it to Joshua. But now imagine this story with David and Solomon. Imagine Solomon saying, I'm going to build this temple without the instructions of my father. Mm-hmm. None of this works. It only can work. Your life can only be set on the straight and path if you're willing to listen to the older generation. And then it only can work if the older generation can produce the wisdom that actually correlates with God's word. There's a conjunction of how God set it up where older generations pass down the wisdom of God to younger generations. This is so important. The example that pops in my mind is the story of Elijah and Elisha. There's prophets in the book of 1 and 2 Kings named Elijah and Elisha, and God calls this man Elijah to do this work. He's already just like a grumpy old man, frustrated that nobody else is standing for truth. Nobody else has got anything going on. God reminds him, hey, I got some guys still around here, and I'm going to send you a young man named Elisha. You're going to train him up in the way he should go. And then Elijah, there's this, to me, it's a powerful verse in 2 Kings chapter number 2 in verse 9. The Bible says this, and it came to pass when they were gone over that Elijah said unto Elisha, ask what I shall do for thee before I be taken away from thee. He says, I want you to ask me right now, right here and now, while the old lion is standing right here. This is a direct picture of our own radio show right here. Elijah and Elisha are sitting at a table, and Elijah says, young man, come here. And Elisha shows up, and Elijah says, ask me what you will right now. Folks, you might have somebody in your life that has wisdom to give you that's sitting right next to you, and you're not courageous enough to ask. And old lions out there, all the old guys, all the old ladies that are out here listening to our show right now, you might have some wisdom to pass down, and you are not welcoming the younger generation to your table for a plate of food to be able to tell them the wisdom that you need. So Elijah tells Elisha, before I'm gone, before I'm dead, before I'm of no use to you, while I'm still standing here, ask what you will. And Elisha, with the courage and humility to come before his elder and say, okay, here's what I want. This is what Elijah finishes with. It says, and Elisha replies, I pray thee, or I'm asking of thee, let a double portion of thy spirit be upon me. He says, Elijah, old lion, he says, the young lion speaks to the old lion and says, let me have twice as much power as you got. Imagine if he didn't ask the question. Imagine if Elijah didn't tell him to come and listen. Imagine if these generations were so separated, the power from Elijah never got passed on to the power of Elisha. And the Bible teaches that Elijah does 7 massive miracles, not only representing God, not only calling fire down from heaven, but then he speaks to his young lion, and now Elisha gets to go forward. And guess how many miracles he gets to do? 14. He doubled them up. And it was because of the lack of pride and the increase of humility of an older generation to a younger generation sitting at a table and saying, we have unfinished business. Will you carry on the torch of wisdom to the next generation? Are you out there, Elijah? Are you listening, Elijah? Are you harboring your own wisdom and not passing it to the younger generation? Elisha, are you out there? Are you out there too busy on your phone, on your cell phone, or your little games playing around and not listening to the old guys in your life? Pay attention to the story in Scripture. All right, old line, before I get preaching and start yelling at all these guys for not listening to the old guys, maybe I should listen to the old guy right here in this own studio with me. So give us a depiction, a New Testament depiction, of an older prophet and a younger prophet, similar to Elijah and Elisha, that kind of shows this exact same thing happening with Paul and Timothy and Titus.
With Paul and Titus, we already talked a little bit about Timothy,
okay,
who Paul considered to be his own son in the faith. This is how much that mantle of parental authority had transferred from Timothy's natural father to his spiritual father. But also with Titus, who was a member of Paul's team and part of Timothy's generation, Paul says this to him in the book of Titus, yep, in chapter 1. He says, the reason that I left you in Crete, Crete is an island in the Mediterranean, was to amend what was defective and to appoint elders in every town as I directed you. So this is Paul leaving instruction. Paul had some unfinished business in Crete.
Right.
He had been there. He had preached the gospel. Many people had gotten saved. Churches had been established there, but he sends his son in the faith, Titus, to finish the job. There was some unfinished business there that had to get done, and Paul was faithful to transfer that responsibility to the next generation. And we have, every generation has a calling.
Yeah.
The Bible talks about in the book of Acts how David, after he had finished the purpose of God in his generation, he fell asleep. And so all of us, before we fall asleep, before we end our lives, we need to make sure that we completed the purposes that God had called us to.
I think this is so important. And I know we're, you know, this is not a normal show for how we're operating, but whether you like it or not, somebody is in your sphere of influence. Are you producing to them wisdom that's necessary? And let me speak to those of you that might say, hey, I don't have anybody that I can listen to. I can't find anybody. Nobody cares about me. I've had a broken home. I've had hurt. And Old Line, I want you to speak to that person too in just a minute. But the Bible says this in the book of James. And if you got nobody around, if you don't have a church community, if you don't have a good father figure, if you don't have a structure that helps you go to an older generation for help, the Bible says this in James chapter 1. He says, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally. He doesn't hold back. And if you ask him, it will be given to you. Mm. So even if you don't have a father figure, you do have the greatest father of all time that wants to deliver some wisdom to you. But Old Line, what would you say to that person who says, I don't have an Elijah. I don't have a Moses. I don't have a Paul. I don't have a David. What would you say to that person?
I would say the place that God has ordained for these relationships to be formed is the Church of Jesus Christ. Mm. One thing that's unique about a church, there's many sorts of organizations out there in the world. There's your Elks Club, there's your bowling league. But in most of those situations, you are paired up with people maybe who are peers, people your own age. It's the Church of Jesus Christ, which is the only institution on earth where you have all the generations in there all at once,
right,
mixed in together. And so God has already set up those people and put people in place that are to be your Elijahs or your Moseses. And so you need to connect yourself to the people of God in church. I promise you, if you do that, God will bring somebody along who will be that Moses in your life, who will be that David in your life to pass their unfinished business on to you.
That's so good. If folks, put your cell phone down. Turn off TikTok, get off YouTube for a second, and go take an old man, an old guy, go take him out fishing. Go take him out to the diner and just ask him some questions. Maybe go find an old folks home and sit with one of those guys that's wearing a veteran's hat and just ask him a few questions and spend some time with him. All right, last thing I want you to do, Old Line, before we kind of wrap the show, I want you to give a caution now out. I appreciate the instruction that you gave to those looking for wisdom, but I want you to give a caution and a warning to those holding the wisdom that might not be giving it out.
There's a story in your Bible, in 2 Kings, where the prophet Elisha, he's the one who got the mantle from Elijah. He performed twice as many miracles as Elijah had done.
Right.
He dies, and he had a guy in his life, a young man in his life named Gehazi, who was destined to be his successor, if you will. And this guy had a moral failure, had some greed that got part of his life, and he was judged by God and taken out of the picture. Elisha dies without somebody that he's been able to pass his blessing on to. And you'll see in the Bible, before men die, whether it's Isaac, whether it's Jacob, all these men in the Bible, Moses, before they die, they give their blessing. Mm. And so there's something real about a blessing that each godly man has to pass on to the next generation. Jacob and Esau fought over this blessing, right, coming from Isaac. And so this blessing is something that every godly man has to give. Elisha dies without having transferred that blessing to the next generation. Here's what happens. Elisha's buried in a tomb. Several years later,
yep,
there is an attack by a foreign army while these people are burying somebody.
Yep.
And so the attack comes in. They've got to beat feet. So they just take this guy, this dead guy, and they just throw him in the grave. And he happens to land on the bones of Elisha.
This is in your Bible, folks.
He happens to land on the bones of Elisha. Boom. He comes back to life. He's resurrected.
Right.
That blessing, that power, that mantle of authority that died with Elisha and wasn't passed to the next generation was still resident in his bones. And this man,
wow,
springs back to life. Now, you may say, well, that's great. Isn't that wonderful? It's kind of good.
It's nice.
Kind of cool. But just imagine if Elisha had that young man in his life who was there saying, could you give me a double portion of your anointing? Could you give me a double portion of mantle of God that's upon you? So now you would have had Elijah 7, Elisha 14, and maybe the next guy 28.
That's good.
And all that lineage, that spiritual pedigree got cut off rather than continuing and growing.
Folks, find someone to share your wisdom with. Get your wisdom from God. Now, we're not a show that directly talks about politics or foreign affairs or what's going on out in the world. Our show primarily is about digging in the Word of God and proclaiming it boldly to the next generation as much as we possibly can. We thank you for sticking with us, and we hope that you have a blessed week.
And we'll see you in church.